Oh, no. Thank the light, everyone. I am.
Yeah, not welcome, Chrono. Not Chrono, not Zedai.
Not Chrono. Oh, my God. We talked about it. Awesome. I am your do not trouble trouble till trouble troubles you, Sedai, and this is my wolf brother.
Ooh, that was loud, buddy. You might want to tweak your mic a little
bit.
Oof. I will be your rectum damn near killed him, Sedai. I'll tell you why at the end. I will get to really quick before we get into this. So last week I said I will be your light skinned Sedai.
Yes.
So we kind of said, I have a customer that's Amy Gaines. I'm just going to take that off because I'm not going to stop fucking with it if I don't. we have a customer
how's
that's
my,
Amy Gaines.
I won't yell anymore, but how am I in general?
You sound good.
I know I will yell, but as long as my...
Yeah, you sound good, but it's just when you yell, it would be like, ow, it's happening.
Yeah, crack.
But I had kind of said to you guys that, you know, we had an Amy Gaines.
And who is Amy Gaines, Justin, for the
Amy Gaines is Jeremy's wife.
Correct.
His living lover, his wife of like, I think like almost 20 years. Her name's Amy and her last name is Gaines because Jeremy's last name is Gaines. I have an Amy Gaines that comes into my shop and I hadn't met her yet. Well, the reason why I said what I said last week was I finally met her and the conversation went a little something like this. Hey, what's up, cousin? Oh, wow. What's up? Same last name. Cool. Yeah. My cousin's name, wife, blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, it's my ex-husband's name, she says. And I'm like, cool. She sounds kind of Southern. I'm like, Where's your ex-husband from? And she was like, oh, you know, like North Texas, like Oklahoma. And I'm like, holy shit, maybe we're related. And she's like, all due respect, honey, I don't think so. And I said, why is that? And she go, because he's a lot darker than you. I mean, maybe you're light skinned, but he's black. And I was like, oh, yeah. She goes, I don't know. Families are weird, you know, mixed and stuff. But, you know, probably not. And I was like, yeah, no, probably not. But that's cool. Whatever. Nice to meet you. I'm going to go shut up now and eat my fucking shoe. Bye.
Oh,
no, it was
awesome.
It was funny and it was fun. It was we had a really, she's like, I don't know if I should say that. I was like, oh, you should definitely say that. I'm fucking laughing my ass off. I'm fucking
totally
dying.
Totally. That's like my father-in-law's name is Tracy Trotter, and Trotter is a very Southern, often black last name, and most guys with the first name Tracy are generally, because I told there was something.
Yeah, you know what? I've met a couple of dudes named Tracy, and I think the both of them are brothers for sure.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, and Tracy Morgan. I mean, that's a terrible stereotype.
Yeah, he was one time. They were so excited to have him on a committee because his name was Tracy, so probably a woman, and his last name was Trotter, so probably black. My father-in-law is the whitest man you've ever met in your life. And they're just like, well, guess we didn't meet
him. I've
our
only
quota.
Met him once, but yeah.
Yeah.
The word wasp comes to mind. For God's sakes, Janet, get a hold of yourself.
Did not meet our quota for this year. My two caveats, as usual, up top, I'm going to say to the uninitiated or initiated, I have been reading, and I don't know what the fuck's going on. And the views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent, i.e. we mixed it and sounds awesome, respectively. So there
yep,
we go.
What he said.
So we were talking about, as I almost screamed, welcome Chrononauts. We reviewed, you should check it out, people, on this channel right here. Just click on over to Time Pop. And Scott and I are talking about a time loop movie that involves methamphetamine.
So, what movie is this?
It's called Blood Punch. And
Blood Punch?
Blood.
Donkey
Butt Punch. It could have been called. It has not. We spent the first 5 minutes trying to figure out why it was called Blood Punch. And Butt Punch, Donkey Punch. Kool-Aid Punch, anything would have made just as much sense as this. It was a really fun watch, though. We made a lot of fun of it, but it had some unique things to it. So check that
sometimes
out.
Those are the best ones when you can just unabashedly fucking roast something, just do it
and give it a decent grade at the end, because it had some cool time travel stuff, which in the end,
really,
that's what we're, it had a couple of cool time. It was a loop movie. So there were some things that were the same, you know.
So what Uncle Dez is saying, kids, is if you do meth, you can time travel.
Exactly. Probably.
Usually 3 days to a week at a time is about all you can do.
Yeah, usually into the future. You usually don't go backwards with math.
It's more like, it's more like losing time than time.
You will.
Whoa.
Fatty's going to fix his mic. And while he's doing that, I'm going to talk about waking up in a ditch. And what are you guys doing in here? Hey, what are you guys doing in here? So I don't know if Fatty can hear me, but we are talking about the Wheel of Time book for The Shadow Rising, chapter 16 and 17. And if you've been paying attention, you're like, what? But they talked about 12, 13, and 14 last week. That's because you're muted, Fatty. That is because we talked about chapter 15 8 months ago, give or take, something like that.
It was a while. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. And
a while ago, I mean, also mislabeled it chapter 11. Yeah. So that's also.
I need to fix that. I should fix that right now while I'm on, but I won't. And I think I called it chapter 11 leave take. I screwed everything up. But you guys are fans. You're just listening to everything and anything we put out. I know you're there. I know you've heard it. And 15 was a banger. I can see why initially you skipped over. We jumped to 15, and then today we're going to be talking about kind of the fallout of 15. But I'm going to let Fatty kind of catch us up a little bit in real time from 14 to 16. What happened in 15, Fatty?
So 15. So they all get there by different.
Into the doorway.
Rand, by they, I mean Rand, Matt, and Moraine, but you don't really realize that they're all there until
the I still don't. 15, I still don't believe they're all there, but that's my problem.
Well, what you'll see is, towards the end of that chapter, if you go back and re-listen to it, they start to talk about the strain, and you can tell there's some stressful shit going on if you kind of like read it between the lines. And once Matt comes out of the doorway, you realize that not only was he in there, Rand was in there as well, and so was Moraine. And the place that they're at is Sindal, or I guess is what it's called, and that's where the Aelfin and the Eelfin live. And there are two different types of creatures. One's kind of snakeish, and the other one's kind of like foxy. They're not human, but they feed on emotions. They can feed on people who can channel the one power. They'll say the savor. I believe, like Jeremy said, it's almost like a drug to them. Or even like maybe some sort of like think of it almost life, like a delicacy. Like you're sucking their soul almost, basically, in a way. And so the stronger you would be in the power, or the more you matter to the age lace, the Wheel of Time, the pattern, the more that they would enjoy you being there. And the fact that there's two Tavirans there at once, they're kind of freaking out. It's like a fucking meth head to a pile of Heisenberg's blue crystal.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, and they're just kind of losing their shit. And then Moraine's in there too, who is also very strong in the power. So they're just, it's straining, but they're also like, it's like they're rushing around trying to get the money in one of those phone booths with all the air. It's like, we gotta get all this drugs.
And and they're also, but technically it's supposed to be like a troll under a bridge though, right? If just one person goes in.
Well, one of those things.
You don't answer questions. You get answers.
You ask questions and you get answers, but they're vague. And then it's always coming with a price, right? And if you're not careful, the price will be your life, or you won't be able to get out. At one point later in the stories, Birgitta, who is a hero of the horn, is talking to Matt. And there's a story, and it's not called Birgitta and Gaidal Kane. It's called something else. But she went in search because her husband had gotten injured, I believe, or he got hit in the head or something. So he was like, basically became kind of like slow or didn't talk, kind of vegetably. So she led him, she carried him to see if they could heal him or whatever. And she never even found him, like how Matt finds them right away. She never even found him, I don't think. Or maybe she found him, got some answers. And then she talked about even talking about how she took provisions for like 2 months and couldn't find him or couldn't get out. Either way, I can't remember. It's way later in the books. I don't want to spoil it, but it's like, oh, she's like, you've never heard that story? He's like, yeah. And she's like, it was me. And I was like, oh fuck. She goes, not all my stories end in me being the hero and being happy. A lot of them, I just die.
Wow. So, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, Matt gets some vague answers. He gets told to go to Ryudan. I believe Rand's, we talked about this too. Rand's questions are, I think, have to do with cleansing the Sorth, defeating the Dark One, and what he should do next. And those things are really touchy with them because you're not supposed to ask questions about the power or the Dark One at all. And, you know, and that's another reason why things were kind of going haywire there. So
just thinking about them in their, those things feeding on their energy. Have you ever watched What We Do in the Shadows?
Yes, a little bit. I've only watched like 5 or 6 episodes, but
as long as you've seen one, you've seen the energy vampire, and he
he's my favorite dude. My ex coworker Han would always like if you did something they didn't like, something like that. This fucking dude, the episode where he meets the other like kind of energy vampire.
Oh, and then,
it's like, and that guy, that actor is fucking hilarious. Speaking of Breaking Bad, he's in Breaking Bad, but he's in Better Call Saul too.
Oh, no way. Oh,
he's in Better Call Saul. He's got a pretty big part in it. It's pretty hilarious. But
everyone, if you haven't seen it, so it's about vampires, blood sucking vampires, except for this one guy is just an adult boring guy, and he's an energy vampire, and he just goes to work and just hovers around people until they get annoyed, so he
start telling just like the most boring stories at the fucking like water cooler, just like, oh, this guy sucks.
So dude,
that is the funniest part that I've seen about that show yet. I'm just dead, dude.
We've like, all worked with that guy. We've all worked with that guy and come home
exhausted. I'm probably that guy to some people. I have interesting stories. I am at work, you know, and I, you know, anytime I'm around new people, I start, you know, I just talk, and I find myself going like, don't just push down that story because I was there, and how that's coming, I don't believe it coming out of my mouth, but I was you there, guys, and I know that it happened the way it happened, and it's just like, dude.
When I lived with Fatty, I had to learn that if I wanted to accomplish anything, sometimes I just had to walk away mid sentence.
Didn't mean I wouldn't follow you either, because I
would. He might follow me, he might not, but he wouldn't get offended because he'd know that if I was going to fold my laundry, I was just going to have to walk away and fold my laundry.
You're going to either talk to me while I fold, and half the time I'd sit down and help you fold your laundry and just keep bullshitting. Totally, like, oh, this motherfucker's not afraid of chores. Great, great, good, excellent. Everyone on the fucking bus.
I used to get hammered, you guys, and when everyone would go to bed, I would drink 3 more beers and clean the house. That was a good time.
1000% true.
Oh, there's nothing worse than getting drunk than waking up to a dirty house. If you're going to wake up hungover, the least you can do is clean your house.
All I got to do is not throw up and make it dirty again. I'll be good.
Exactly.
There's something to be said when there's people like us. It's like, I love my wife more than anything, but every once in a while, I'm like, and she doesn't, like, usually our schedule's pretty the same, but like every once in a while, she'll pass out and I'll just get like 3 hours of just like, and I'll be like, I'll have some podcast like research going on. I'm taking notes. I'm listening to the books and I'm looking shit up, or I'm looking, you know, something else. Plus I got either, you know, whatever the fuck I'm watching, football or a movie or whatever on the background. And I'm playing video games and I'm just like, I am happier than a pig in a pile of shit. And I'm just like, oh, my ADD is so good.
I don't have to give one person my undivided attention. I can divide my attention as much as I want.
I do that all day in small increments, and it's so fucking hard.
When I can only handle, I can only do one customer at a time.
Yeah, because I want to do 9. I'm already getting forward at work because I'll like be waiting on someone at the ATM, and I'll pop someone else if we're busy, and they're like, just slow down. I'm like, get them the fuck out of here.
Give
me your money, hit me, get out. And like we have some great customers, man. When it comes to customers, like 97% of the customers are awesome. It's not like restaurants where it's like, man, you know what? You could have a customer who's been great 100 times, 50-50, he might be a fucking cunt today. And You know, you don't usually get that. Usually you get actually to kind of maybe usually brighten people's day most of the time. So it's
Washington weed shops are like that. Like anytime I go into a Washington weed shop, I'm like, dude, you're a really nice guy. You're a really nice guy. But I just wanted to pop in, get some weed and leave.
I just need one joint, bro.
I'm out.
Real quick.
Thank you.
Real quick. Here's a CBD edible.
Here's some tip. I'm out. I don't even live here.
I'll tip you $5 if you shut up now and just give me the joint.
I don't live here. I don't want to join your program. I'm out.
You don't need my fucking phone number. Let's go. Anyways, back to the story. So I'm sure I'll get sidetracked again.
Oh yeah. The chapters we're actually going to talk about aren't super exciting. It's set, right. they're set up chapters. They're interesting, yeah. But not.
Now that we're slowing down a little bit, not every episode's going to be a banger. So we just got to I want to clear up shit for you and anybody else and then tell some jokes. So
yeah. And I'm catching up and you guys come on real time. Ask some questions. You don't have to ask questions about these chapters. You can ask, just talk about the Wheel of Time show, talk about older books, talk about books we haven't gotten to.
You can ask, why is Han Solo rubbing my shoulders?
Yeah.
It's getting real sexy in the pod lab tonight.
It's nice. Those cold fingers from the.
Rub my temples, Han.
Pew pew pew. And I've always got the show going on in the background just to remind myself how I got sucked into this. So we start this week in after 15 Into the Doorway, we go into 16 Leave Takings, which is the 17th chapter, I believe, titled Leave Taking.
16. We're at 16.
I'm just saying there's a leave taking in every book.
It's 16.
I know it's chapter 16.
Oh, sorry.
But I'm saying that there is a chapter titled Leave Taking in every book.
I'm saying that chapter 16 is Leave Takings.
I know.
Oh, okay. And, gotcha. But sometimes there's more than one.
In the first book,
there's a couple books, but there's two.
In the first book, there is a chapter Leave Takings. Yeah. So on and so forth. But as Fatty,
told you three times, ADHD.
This is
chapter. Come on. Just acknowledge that what I'm saying is right.
This is The Shadow Rising, chapter 16, Leave Takings. And this, I'm going to let you run with this because you touched on this quite a bit last week. So
right. This is all kind of part of what was happening in 14 and like an extension of Fael basically trying to manipulate Perrin into not ditching her.
Or anyone like she has to manipulate to not.
Well, or anybody, but particularly Perrin, she's going like the extra mile. She's like thought ahead of it. She's started to manipulate Loial. This chapter is, Perrin going, deciding he's going to go. I think they talked to Matt for a second and Matt's like, what are you going to do? Perrin says, hey, man, I think that we all are going to have our part to play. And I think you just got to do whatever you think you're supposed to do because Perrin doesn't know that he went through the doorway. Matt does, or Rand knows that Matt went through the doorway, but Rand's pretty good about keeping people secrets. And Moraine is too, because she's an Aes Sedai, so of course. And Fael is there waiting basically for Perrin to come and ask Loial to take him through the ways, to take him home, because he's got to get back to the Two Rivers as fast as possible. And writing there would take weeks upon weeks, and the ways would take maybe 3 to 4 days at the very most. But she's already made Loial promise, who's an Ogier who don't break promises, as Berylyn told you in our last episode, Ogier's oath on it, bitch, I'm going to take your man. And then she said, I'll shave you bald, and maybe the boys who play with the chickens will like you. That's such a great insult, by the way. So it's just a bunch of sexy politics, no, gender politics, and bullshit going back and forth with, and like you have, Fael is going to go with Bane and Shiad, who are two mains of the spirit who's gotten really close with her. And then Gaul, who's in love with one of them and has gotten very close with Perrin. So, it's.
God, I bet those two fucking wreck shop when they fight together.
Who? Fael and Perrin?
And Gaul. Or is it, did you say Gaul?
Oh, yeah, dude. They have some great fight scenes. That's why I really hope if we were to get to the end, they have some good stuff in the World of Dreams. Gaul ends up going with them, and Gaul's a badass in the World of Dreams too, because Perrin is, he's with Perrin.
Do the ways, if you take the exact same trip through the ways three times, will it take the same amount of time every time, or does sometimes it take a week and sometimes it takes an hour? Is it how precise of a shortcut is it?
That answer is twofold. When they were pristine and new, it should be the same every time. Basically, you can go in there and walk for a day and you go to this place, and you walk for 3 days and you get to this place, and you walk for, there's different, it's definitely a mapped out route, and it's very well, it was very well, marked which way you needed to go. And it was like a way for people to travel who couldn't travel at that time, because a lot of Aes Sedai could travel and just open a gateway. There's a lot of people who couldn't. So the Waze were a way to, you know, they were like, you know, airlines for us.
Yeah, totally. Okay.
But they also had, in the Age of Legends, they had some things that, like, they had something, I forget what they call them at this point. I'd have to go back and look. But they had things that were, like, similar to, like a speeder, almost, or, like, a helicopter. But they almost, the way they describe them, they're almost like speeders in Star Wars.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, yeah. But, like, now that they're corrupted, I think that it should generally take the same time. But because some of the islands where you cross the bridges to get to certain, routes, you have to double back and go to a longer route because the bridges are broken or you can't read the guidepost to see which way to go and stuff like that. So it should take the same amount of time, but probably takes longer because it's harder to navigate.
Or you'll get, or you won't.
Or Machin Shin.
Or you won't remember what, yeah, you'll get chased up a different path by Machin Shin, or you won't remember which backtrack you did last time. You're like, shit, last time we backtracked, we go left or right or whatever. So if you can actually remember, it's going to be take the same amount of time.
Well, and but, one of the main reasons to have an Ogier with you, because he can read the guidepost. Unless you know Ogier, yeah, you can't read the guidepost. And they're so, they often describe them as looking like they've been pocked by like acid rain.
Is that not a language anyone else can learn? Or like, are the Ogiers like getting feelings?
I feel like you can learn it, but it's kind of like the old tongue. People are just kind of like, nah, racist, don't need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would I need to speak Ogier? Do they? Some people don't even believe Ogier exists. Some people don't believe in snow.
I don't believe in snow, but I do.
Oh, I hear I'm about to really believe in snow where I live.
That's right.
Like, you better dig yourself the fuck out, believe in snow. I don't care. I'm so sick of the rain. I'll fucking make snow angels all the way up.
Oh, totally. Just falls and stays.
I miss two things about Seattle, Zoe and Connor.
Oh.
I miss so nothing else, man. Nothing
fucking
else.
Cute. I'm going to send my son up there so I can just once. Just once I want to miss my son.
For 5 whole minutes. Dad. What?
Oh, man.
This is basically a deluxe battle of the sexes. Elaine and Nynaeve are talking about heading to Tanchico. I do have a little clip. It's just like a minute long, but that's all I got. And then we'll go to like 17, and then that will be.
And I don't know if Fatty said it this time. I know he mentioned it last time, but Fael does get Loial to take her because of, you know, Loial's not going to break a promise. So she weaseled her way in. And Perrin's like, meh, then I'm not going to go with you. And then she's like, okay.
He's like, I'll ride there. And she's like, no, the fuck you won't, son.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we'll get back into it because I don't think they say, but they start getting into the ways. And basically, Fael forces Perrin to follow behind them because then it won't break Loial's oath. And it's just dumb. And anyways, this clip is just kind of like, I believe it's Perrin and I don't know. You know what? I don't even know. I forgot. So let's get
all it. Right.
Steading Shang Tai was Loial's home in the spine of the world. And since he was barely past 90, he was not old enough to have left on his own. Ogier lived a very long time. By their standards, Loial was no older than Perrin, maybe younger. But Loial had gone anyway to see the world. And his greatest fear was that his mother would find him and drag him back to the Steading to marry, never to leave again. While Fael was trying to figure out what was going on, Perrin stepped into the silence. I need to go back to the Two Rivers, Loial. Your mother won't find you there.
Yes, that is true.
Ogier gave an uncomfortable shrug.
But my book, Ren's story, and yours and Matt's. I have so many notes already, but...
He moved around behind the table, peering down at the open book, the pages filled with his neat script.
I will be the one to write the true story of the Dragon Reborn, Perrin. The only book by someone who traveled Lazarus with him, who actually saw it unfold. The Dragon Reborn, by Loial, son of Arendt, son of Halen, of Steading Shang Tai.
Frowning, he bent over the book, dipping his pen in the ink bottle.
That is not quite right. It was more...
Perrin put a hand on the page where Loial was going to write. You'll write no book if your mother finds you. Not about Rand, at least. And I need you, Loial.
Need, Perrin? I do not understand.
There are white cloaks in the two...
So, is the initial conversation right there.
So, we talked a lot about politics in our marriage politics in our last episode, how Aiel, women ask men and can ask many men in the Two Rivers. It's a customary for men to ask women to marry. But Loial comes from a tradition of being married off by his parents, basically. And that's why Loial
is sort of like India, like you have like a arranged marriage.
Yeah. And so that's why Loial is like, fine, whatever, Fael, Perrin, anyone, I'll go. Because Loial ran into another Ogier, and that Ogier was like, hey, no one, everyone's mad at you because you ran away and your mom is trying to find you so she can marry you to
your mom.
So Loial's running from his mommy right now. 90-year-old baby.
Yeah, Perrin, we have got to dip, brother.
Exactly. Mama's hot on my trail.
And I'm, you know, this is something that like I feel it, you know, maybe it'll be Perrin and someone else. I don't know who else it would be. I would think it would have to be Loial if they don't want to completely run the show. Jeremy? Yeah. They already did. No, I hate it. Sorry. We don't even need that guy here.
That was a perfect Jeremy. Like he's here. I know. Right here.
It's like he's right here with me. He's frozen behind me. You can't tell. But I feel like there's got to be, even if it's just a quick conversation, there's got to be some sort of mention of this because they're going to have a vehicle to get back to the Two Rivers quick unless they just start this season with Perrin and Loial there already for some reason, which, hey, I wouldn't put it past them. Maybe they'll maybe the third season starts, Loial's there, Perrin's there, they've already heard the White Cloaks, like it shows, you know, it starts with maybe like them showing up into town and Fael is there already hunting for the horn, maybe. Maybe that's how they introduce her, because she was originally a hunter for the horn, but she is part of the line of nobility in Saldea. So maybe that's how they introduce her. Like they are just showing up in town, or maybe they have a really quick conversation in like the first or second episode. And then they, next thing you know, like, I don't feel like we'll get a lot of exposition through the ways with them. And I don't think that you're going to get the back and forth bullshit in a relationship as far as like, you're going to have to follow me now. I don't think we'll get that because there's no setup for it.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're going to like somehow set that up in the first few episodes and then have them go to the Two Rivers through the ways. And then one of the culminating battles is what goes down in the Two Rivers. That could be, I feel like that's a long setup, especially for a show like this. I wouldn't be mad if they did that, but I feel like they're going to do it much faster.
I would be fine with any time jump if it gets us into the action faster. Like as much as I would like to see some of this and learn more about our heroes in real time and get to know them and what their problems are, any jump that gets us into the action, I am fine with. So
Desmond wants the action. That's why he walked out of Big Lebowski.
Exactly. There you go. There you go. So this is a jump into the next chapter a little bit, but just while we're talking about the show, actually, let's just get into the next chapter.
Yep. Well, that's it. You know, that's where we're at. And then first thing in the next chapter, Matt goes to talk to Tom and he's trying to get some advice from Tom. And I feel they're going to do some manipulation with that because Matt. So I've heard that Matt's not going to go to Riudan with Rand, which is fucked because that's a huge part of the story. So I'm curious if that is the truth or if somehow they'll take off and then, you know, how Matt just kind of was like, oh, now you're in, you know, Falm with Rand all of a sudden, you know, they just kind of put him there. You know, he was in where he was at. He was in Carheen and then all of a sudden he was in where Rand was in Falm. So at the end of last season.
Yeah.
And so unless they do that again, which they might, he's supposed to be going to Tanchico with Tom. Maryland, I think, and probably meeting up with Nynaeve and Elaine is what I would think show wise. In this, you know, obviously Matt goes to talk to him. You get a little, Matt leaves pretty quick because Moraine comes in, or maybe Matt's leaving. I don't know, man. It's 2 weeks ago since I listened to it. Sorry. Maybe Matt's leaving and comes across Moraine. She just kind of like ignores him because she's already pissed off at him because of the doorway. And she's mad at Rand because he's not going to, he's not willing to leave.
Is
like,
Matt in this? Matt's in this chapter?
It's, I believe it's at the end of one of the other chapters. Matt goes to talk and it's like happening at the same time, I believe. I don't know if it's actually in this chapter.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's, yeah, the end of, like, right before this chapter starts, I think she's talking with Matt.
Chapter, man, I hear.
And then Moraine comes in and starts to discuss some things with Tom about wanting to get Rand moving in a direction that she wants him to go, or really any direction, right?
And yeah, yeah.
And she starts discussing Dies de Mar with, actually, this might be the clip. Give me one second.
So real quick. So Tom, so this chapter starts out kind of boringly.
He said,
just because they're trying to, like,
earlier, the High Lord Carlion dead.
Yeah, I played the wrong clip, although that was a really good one, coincidentally, as well. So okay, yeah. We got two clips. That's two for me.
This chapter starts out a little dull just because we're trying to get into Tom's head. And so Tom's basically talking about to himself about retiring.
Right.
And Moraine immediately takes that away from it.
Yeah. And like, it's not as dull as you think, because when you really start thinking about it, when you hear this clip too, you realize Tom's been putting in work. Fuck retiring. He has been scheming low key for Rand since they all got into the stone. And you're going to see Moraine like breaks down like one of the main machinations. He gets rid of like two or three people who are really against Rand very, very deftly.
In this chapter, like while he's in the
Moraine explains what he's been doing.
Oh, right. Yes.
Okay. I think it's just in his chambers in the stone.
Yeah. So after this, yeah, he tiredly goes to his chambers and Moraine's there. And then it gets kind of exciting because they really break each other down. They're like, I know who you are. And she's like, I fucking know who you are. And then they get to know each other. Now, yep. Could any of the shit that we hated from last year with Moraine's sister tie into this? Because Tom is like, I know you, you're from this family and this, and you came from here and all that stuff. And I don't know how it would, but I'm wondering if that might be their way. They definitely spent too much time on it. But
it could, but I think that's something that they're setting up for like way down the line, because okay. if the person that I think that she would be taking the place of, it would be someone who I think plots with one of the other High Lords to take over Caemlyn or Carheen or something like that. Okay. I can't remember. I've been skipping around on the books a lot, so I have to straighten it up, but I don't think so. And I mean, you know, I'm probably wrong. There's probably some way to tie it in, but I can't
think of anything
on the top of my head. Unless it has to do with her selling out Tom's nephew, Owen, to the Aes Sedai. Because that's one of the things that Moraine mentions in this, is that if you were to, you know, try to help Rand or push Rand in the direction I want to go. I think she's actually telling him, I want you to go protect Nynaeve and Elaine. And, yeah. You know, we don't know it yet, but Tom has a special connection to Elaine. He used to fuck her mom. Ooh. He was kind of like her stepdad for a long time, even though it was like low key behind closed doors. He was around when she was a little kid. And once they get back together, she starts kind of remembering. And he finally is like, yeah, you know, I was your mom's man for a long time, but I couldn't be her man because she was the queen and I was the court bard. So,
yeah, she asked Tom to go with Elaine and Nynaeve to Tenchico.
Right.
So,
which is, I think, I have a feeling Min and Matt and Tom will all end up in Tenchico, somehow meet up with Elaine and Nynaeve. Rand, Rand is going to go to Riudan, but I almost feel like he will go to Riudan. And like the people keep talking about how, like, no Stone of Tyr yet, no Kalendor yet, and like they haven't really been mentioned of it this year. There's been some talk that he may go to Riudan. He gets the Yael and he comes back to Tyr and takes it with the Yael, as opposed to kind of taking it himself as the same time the Yael are trying to take it.
Rand doesn't have Kalendor yet in the show?
No.
Boy, I've been reading these books so long, I forget what I've like visualized, right? Matt with Kalendor. Like, yeah, I've seen it in my eyes.
Visualize Matt with his actual Ashendari. And that's not that he tied that fake dagger Ashendari. I've heard that's not really going to be it. I really hope it's not, because that would be lame as fuck. But, you know, it's, what are you going to do? It is
at the end of season two. I forget. Is there a prologue where they're kind of splitting up, or does season two end with it looking like they're going to be a team for a while?
It ends with them like all on the rooftop, and Rand looks at Elaine like, who are you? And like basically is like, I'm in love with you first sight. And then it pretty much ends, I think, Honestly, I have only watched it for the show because obviously I must not love it very much either.
Yeah.
I really need to. But I also haven't had a ton of time to watch anything to like, I'm going to slog through this because I need to.
We'll at least, if we don't do a full rewatch, we'll at least like watch the last two episodes or something.
I think we should just do the last two. I mean, I'd be down for a rewatch. I need to rewatch it because it's not like, it's a great show. It's just not what I want it to be. And I get it. Like people like Jeremy are just like, it's not. Like I said, the one dude I work with, he was just like, I watched four episodes and was like, fuck this. This is not the story I love.
You know what I would love to do is a live rewatch. Get everyone on here, sync up, and then we can, you know, get our hopes and dreams out at the same time or talk shit about it or whatever.
Holding out hope that this season is going to be awesome.
I just got really worried, not that I'm not already worried about season three, but like if they're like the A team at the end of season two, we're going to have three whole episodes of them just bickering and splitting up.
Figuring out where they're at and whatever, you know, like, yeah, I don't know, man. So I'm trying not to predict too much because I just want to like go into it and go like, wow me.
That's where a time jump would be fine. If it's like, hey, it's 6 months later and Matt has made his way to here and Perrin.
Give us a fucking 90-second montage for each character, like the main five.
Give me a Star Wars scroll. I don't care. Just
hey, yeah. Get us into it. Okay. Fucking 80s kids. That worked just fine. But if you gave me 90 seconds for the five characters, we're talking, what, 4 minutes of their time. And you can do it. You can add whoever else you need into as far as like Moraine Land, whatever. You can add anybody else in you need to. And then everybody else can figure out where they're at it. Because it doesn't matter how they got there at this point.
Yeah.
It matters how the main characters got where they're at and what's happening. You're setting the scene for what's going to go down the season so people can be like, oh, it's part of the fun. It's part of the intrigue. We know the story. How's it going to change? People who are embracing it that are book people like me, I think those are the people who are like, do something, you know?
Yeah.
Please, I want to be into this. So give me something, you know? So
we could have a battle by the end of episode one.
They should go right down. Bang.
Bang, bang.
It should start episode one by them going through the doorway. I'd have the biggest boner. I don't care how. I don't care if it's in the like Stone of Tear, but like that would be a great exposition point. Like, oh, here we are. How did we get here? You'll find out by the end of the season.
Whatever.
Do it Tarantino style, bitch.
Boom. So now you really have some splaining to do. What? I have no. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish.
I have no idea what Min is up to. I did not. Who is she pretending to be?
Okay, let me play this clip.
Okay.
And put a pin in that till the clip's over. We'll finish talking about that, and then we'll finish on Min, and then I'll tell one more story. If I could get my phone to work. So, okay, this is Moraine kind of crashing into Tom's chambers real quick, explaining what Tom's been working on since the original Stone of Tear battle when Rand in the Shadow Rising, chapter 17, 9 minutes in.
Deceptions.
Cowboys versus Redskins. Catch it. I mean, Commanders.
Moraine versus Tom. Catch it.
Woman didn't even ask if I wanted it. Burn me. What is she after? He refused to flex the leg. If she would not
she
ask,
just kind of healed his leg.
He would not acknowledge her gift. An interesting day yesterday, she said as he sat down. I'd not call Trollocs and Halfmen interesting, he said dryly. I did not mean them. Earlier, the High Lord Carlion dead in a hunting accident. His good friend Tadosian apparently mistook him for a boar, or perhaps a deer. I hadn't heard. He kept
sounds
his
like
voice
George R. R. Martin ripping some shit
even
off, killing Robert Baratheon.
She could not have traced it to him. Carlion himself would have thought it by his own hand. He did not think she could have, but he reminded himself again that she was Aes Sedai, as if he needed any reminding, with that smooth, pretty face across from him, those serene, dark eyes watching him full of all his secrets. The servants' quarters are full of gossip, but I seldom listen. Do you not? She murmured mildly. Then you will not have heard that Tadosian fell ill not an hour after returning to the stone, directly after his wife gave him a goblet of wine to wash away the dust of the hunt.
Coincidence?
It is said he wept when he learned that she means to tend him herself and feed him with her own hands. No doubt, tears of joy at her love. I hear she has vowed not to leave his side until he can rise again, or until he dies. She knew. How, he could not say, but she knew. But why was she revealing it to him? A tragedy, he said, matching her bland tone. Brand will need all the loyal High Lords he can find, I suppose. Carleon and Tedosian were hardly loyal, even to each other, it seems. They led the faction that wanted to kill Rand.
So, what Moraine is explaining is how, I don't know if they were actually having an affair. Maybe they were, but there was one High Lord having an affair with another Lord's wife. I don't know if that's true or not, but Tom, who was an expert forger in a world where many people can't actually even read, so he's really good at it and would write letters and managed to convince these two dudes to try to, who were friends, to take, but they both opposed Rand, to take each other out. And then I think they were having an affair because the one, the husband of the one, took out her lover with a spear, and then she's pissed and poisons him the second that he gets back. And then it's like, well, I'll take care of him until he's dead or gets better. And he's just, and then he wept. But this is all Tom's machinations of just writing letters to people.
Okay.
Deus Demar, the Game of Houses. Basically, it's just manipulation, political manipulation, and he's really, really good at it.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's a Deus Demar by birth, but a Gleeman by trade, and those two things go very well together because people tell the Gleeman everything when they're drunk in the tavern, and
everybody wants to be friends. Gleeman is the closest thing to like a, you know, he's a famous Quidditch player in Harry Potter. You know,
totally.
He's a quarterback of the fucking football team you love. It's like you want to talk to him. So, and then, as Desmond was bringing up, he's confused. There is some confusing shit, and one of them I want you to look up because I need some clarification on it myself. You're talking about Min. I'm not sure why she ended up in the tower. I can't remember. I believe that it was just when she was leaving. They'll probably tie it like how they did her leaving Faldara, but she was... I forget why she comes to... I think she gets told to send a letter to... She's sending a message to... Okay, now I remember. She gets sent there by Moraine to give a message to Swan Sanche that Rand is on his way to Tyr. He's after Kalendor. He's trying to fulfill the prophecies. Stay fucking too. And so... But also, Swan then figures out what Min is, won't let her leave. Keeps her around, but needs to keep her in disguise just in case anybody who's connected to Rand, dark friend or not, would recognize her as being close to the Dragon Reborn because she traveled with them for a while.
But is she like, is she just wearing a hoodie and going by a different name?
No, normally she dressed kind of like a boy, had really short hair, wore breeches, wore like, you know, vests and shirts. And now they have her in like ball gowns and her hair's long and curled and she's wearing makeup and... It's just more kind of gender stupidity.
Is she pretending to be accepted?
No, she's just someone who came to seek asylum from the two men that she couldn't decide to marry in the White Tower, because I guess that's a thing that they did.
So it's a nunnery.
It is a plot device, thanks to Elidor Rigby. Leave it the fuck alone.
Okay. So Min is going as, and what do they keep calling her? It doesn't say in here.
Elmandretta.
Elmandretta.
It's her government name. She just goes by Min, right?
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I was like, that's like and me going as El she Desmondo. Talks,
right. Someone's fucking bumping in the hood, son.
Yeah.
So she is also, I think she speaks with Gawain and Galad for a hot second, and she's, Gawain knows who she is. Galad, I don't think, does. And Gawain's just like, oh, come on. Just answer my question about Egwene or whatever. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's just like, you're killing me, lady. But then you see the first hints of, it's really foreshadowing some stuff. The tower coup will be coming this season. How well they'll do it, I don't know. Suan Sanchi's going to either be deposed or killed or both. In the books, you'll see what's coming up. She gets deposed. She gets stilled. She escapes with Min and her keeper of the Chronicles, Leanne, who is also in the show. I don't know how much of that we'll get. I don't know what version. I mean, at this point, I'm not even sure that Leanne and Suan are besties in their Dragon Reborn quest like her and Moraine are. It may just be her and Moraine, but Leanne was always kind of a part of it, even though she didn't really know about her and Moraine's secret until, you know, closer to right before he, you know, proclaimed himself or whatever.
Yes. Yes.
But she was still like, I'm loyal to you. If you believe in this, I believe in you. So, but they both get like deposed, stilled. There's a huge coup, and Gawain, Elaine's brother, is one of the people who actually kills a bunch of warders and people who support Suan Sanche. So it becomes this whole thing. Like I said, what kind of version of this will we get in the show? Maybe it'll be very little. But, you know, it's a good storyline, but they'll have to condense it immensely.
You know what's going to happen? We're going to get these two chapters verbatim.
What if we did? Just one whole episode, these two chapters, you're just like, okay.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Somehow Matt's going to end up in the White Tower and fight the brothers. God, if they don't do that.
I was just going to say. So now I have one last question to ask, because I've listened to this chapter twice today, and I still have no idea what fandom is talking about. The final paragraph about Sarah Coventry.
Okay, exactly. So she is a novice, I believe, that she, I believe, stumbled across some sort of information that she's not supposed to know. And she doesn't even realize that it's important. And I believe it is Leandrin that goes to, it could be Alvierin, but it goes to visit her at this place where she's been sent for penance or whatever. And she's going to do penance for a month or 6 months or a year. And then she can come back to the tower to learn to be an obedient little witch. But I believe it's Leandrin, and it could be Alvierin. They show up and try to figure out what she knows, because if she knows too much, they're going to have to kill her. And then the fact that she even shows up and asks, you know, she knows that she can't risk her repeating that this Aes Sedai, who was known to people, showed up, asked her these questions, so she kills her. But okay. I can't remember for the life of me what Aes Sedai it is, and I cannot remember what the information is that she knows. So
I don't think there is anything, because this chapter just says an Aes Sedai interrogates her and then kills her afterwards. That's the the entire description.
Google who interrogates Sarah Coventry at the farm. What Aes Sedai, and see if you get an answer. Because fandom usually has pretty good theories, and they're usually pretty right on.
That I'm reading off fandom.
I know, but if you get a little more specific, it might tell you.
Sarah what?
Coventry.
Oh, yeah.
Coventry.
Yeah. In The Shadow Rising, Sarah Coventry is the girl who escorts Min to Suan when she first arrives at the White Tower. Halfway through the book, she is interrogated by an Aes Sedai before being killed.
I think it's probably Alvierin, or yeah, it's got to be Alvierin. It could be Masana, who is a Forsaken masquerading in Aes Sedai, but I believe it's Alvierin, who is one of the kind of higher ranking Aes Sedais, who's Black Aja, and she starts manipulating the person who takes over for Suan Sanche. Like the person who takes over for Suan Sanche isn't necessarily a dark wizard, but she's being manipulated and controlled by like her. Like the person who Leanne is in the show is a dark friend and starts to manipulate the person who is Suan Sanche, who takes over and causes all sorts of fucking problems, which is why the tower coup happens as well. And I think erasing evidence of Min going to talk to Suan Sanche. So Min can't, any link to Min coming out saying like, no, like he is the dragon. I know. And I know Moraine, like she's just trying to eliminate all of her backup. Any way, shape, or form, I think.
And we won't know. And it's funny because we probably don't find out. But the reason why they're not telling us now for sure is it's a Black Aja, and we don't know who any of the Black Aja are. So
yeah, I'm gonna do some research on that.
See, and I don't. I could see them not circling back to this. This isn't that big of a deal that we need to know which
it could be
which Aja.
Usually, fandom works that one out.
Yeah, they. Yeah, you'd think they'd be able to figure out, at least narrow it down to like three or four that are there right now. Fatty's asking Google.
I'm asking Google, yo.
What's the, I always forget the Amazon version of, what's her name? What's the Amazon girl name?
I think it's
Alexa.
Amazon.
Alexa, no. Yeah. Is it Alexa?
Hey Alexa, who killed Sarah Coventry in the Wheel of Time?
She doesn't know.
It's So what I could see on like Reddit and stuff that I'm seeing, it's that it's not necessarily confirmed, but it's widely assumed that it's Alvi Arryn.
Okay.
I don't know if we've met her yet in the book. She's a white Aes Sedai of the White Aja. Well, she's a black Aja, but we don't know it yet in the show or the books. So, yeah.
So that's my that's the new game I want to play is not what's not going to be in the books, but what tiny thing are they going to blow up into a full episode? So we're going to have a Sarah Coventry episode and see and watch her get hunted and killed.
It's not even hunted. They just show up and then kill her. It's like,
oh,
it's,
the show is going to hunt her. They are going to follow her in the shadows for the whole.
Oh, episode. Fuck you. That's what you're saying. I wasn't really understanding what you're saying. 3 episodes on Sarah Coventry. Let's do it. Fuck you, Rafe Judkins. If you do that, I'm going to kick you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to punch your beautiful man in his six pack, Taylor Napier, and then I'm going to fucking kick you in the balls.
I'm fine with that as long as Sarah is played by, oh, geez, I can't think of her name right now.
Brittany Murphy.
Oh, there that we go. Was important. Oh, that was ouch. Ouch. Not.
No, they kill her. She's not already dead.
I can't think of any famous people. I got a couple people in my head, but I can't get anyone. Natalie Portman. That's the one I was thinking of.
Zoe Saldana.
As long as Sarah Coventry is played by Natalie Portman, then I'll live with those 3 episodes.
I feel like there's an actor whose name is Sarah Coventry that we could like try to find.
Ooh, and I hope it's a yeah. Very just cool. So
last thing. Yeah. First things last, the reason why I was your rectum damn near killed him, I said that today, is because I was at work for about 20 minutes. My boss was like, hey, man, you want to like drop these down? Like, we're doing some remodeling. He's like, drop these down so we can just take a picture and send it to the bosses so they can plan what they're going to do next week when they come here.
Oh, no. So,
no problem. It's not heavy. Lifting it. Go to set it down. And they're tall like Tupperwares, right? So I just go to set it down and I'm like literally squatting almost to a catcher's position, which I do all the time because everything's low at my work and I'm tall as fuck. And I get down to the second to last column and my pants rip so comically loud that I thought I shit myself. I was like, my eyes don't get wide when I'm at work. I am stoned all the time. What? Oh. And like one of my, like my assistant manager was behind me and I like stood up really quick and I was like, Paige, I might need to go. She's like, what just happened? Like, you didn't just crap your pants, did you? And I'm like, I think I need to go change my pants. And I was like, maybe it's not that bad. I turn around. She goes, bro, it's so bad. You're a full SpongeBob. Go change your pants. Oh, sorry.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
I get back to work. My boss is like, dude, if you didn't want to do it, you just could have said you didn't want to do it. You have to like, I've seen you out there with the scissors, dog. And I was like, man,
you're like, they don't call me fatty for nothing, man.
My nickname's like Pop Pop at this store. So I'm like, dang.
Is your name Pop Pop? Is it because you're the old man?
Fan. Oldest person at the store. Well, second oldest person at the store. One of the gals, Tabitha, I think she's like 47. But oh. Yeah, it's like, I mean, whatever. The kids I work with are all great. They're really good. It's a really professional shop. It's nice. So, but yeah, no, that was my, you know, I was there for 20 minutes. And I was just like, geez, can I just go home? Can I stay home?
The only stories I have are about being a professional soccer dad. I'm holy crap.
That's a tough job, dude.
Oh man, yeah. And he's in serious soccer now. Oh, he did. My son, he made it to the playoffs in flag football. They lost. They lost their play-in game. Unfortunately, they didn't make it to the championship game. But they played. They went 6-0, and then just got dominated by a team 2 weeks in a row. The team they played the last game of the season was the same team they played first game.
That sucks. That happens a lot, actually.
And I reminded him that I was the Buffalo Bills of Billings, Montana. My little guy football team lost the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, just like the Buffalo Bills.
Fucking brutal.
So
it gets sad to say, look, kid, at least you're not a Raiders fan.
He's done a lot of learning this couple of years because he's been on a dominant team for like 5 seasons, and in the last 5 months he's lost more games than the last. They're doing really well. He's on a good team, but they've still lost more games the last 5 months than he's lost in the last 5 years. So,
dude, let me tell you, as somebody who our teams out in the country in Wilton where I live, all of us country boys were really good. So our teams were always right there at the end. And then when I started going into town and playing like Babe Ruth, I was on good teams. I mean, like, I remember like my when I was 14, I played with 14, 15 year olds. We went like 15-1. I was hitting fifth like all year. I was like the fourth in the rotation. Like, you know, I was younger than everybody, but I was still as good as the 15 year olds.
Cause your dad fucking beat it into you. You either.
Yeah. What's funny is I didn't really even, I mean, I liked it at the time, but I don't really like baseball.
Yeah.
And like, I know I would have been even better at football.
Yeah.
But that was what was funny. And then my fifth, like the only time I ever had like losing seasons, like when I played high school ball, like we, you know, won sections usually, stuff like that. I only played for JV, but like I quit after that. But I was only on one losing team, and it was my 15-year-old year in Babe Ruth, and I think we won like two games. And it was me and my buddy that played high school ball, and like, you know, we were studs. We went 5 for 5 every game, and like did everything we could, and we still fucking lost every game because we just were terrible. But it was one of the funnest years I had. But you know,
speaking of which, I am going to be spending next weekend in Sacramento. Because that's where the soccer finals are going to be. So we're going to spend the night.
Do you know like roughly like what part of the city?
I know exactly. Hang on. Shit. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?
For soccer, or football?
Granite for soccer. Granite Regional Park.
I'd be out by Folsom probably.
No, it's definitely like right in Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like we're staying in Midtown, and we're playing it. Of course, all three games are at three different fucking parks. So,
what are the parks you play at? Curious, does that have an answer?
Granite Regional Park.
That's got to be a newer one.
Granite Regional Park. Oh yeah, and these are soccer fields too. Oh, maybe they are all at Granite. Okay, never mind. Maybe we aren't moving around.
Probably three different fields at the same park or some shit. Yeah. Like Hamlin.
Yeah, and it's a soccer field, so you would have never played there. You probably played on the baseball field down the street. Yeah,
no. I was thinking it might have been at like one of the high schools, but I forget. Like that area has grown so much. There's probably crazy sports complexes because it's California, and then
and there's going to be fucking hundreds of teams. Like this is Northern California finals.
It was like that for baseball. Sometimes it's just like. Stupid
fucking nuts. Well, thank you all for joining us here. Please join us Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. It's working out good. It's a regular time. This is must see TV. We would really like you here live to throw some question at us, throw your comments at us. Make this a group discussion, because the show isn't going very far, so we're going to be just kind of working our way through the books. Next week, we will be doing chapter 18.
Yeah,
19.
Tell me.
Chapter
just 18, 19?
Yeah. All right. That'll be I'm looking at around an hour each time, give or take. Oh my God. I got to tell you, when you were playing that clip, it sounded like a different book because I always listen on 1.5. So listening to it on one, I'm just like, oh my God. Like
that's funny. Yeah. I'm such a fucking dork, so I've been playing that Hogwarts game, and I've been listening to the Harry Potter books while I play them.
Oh, nerd.
And I was worried that I would be very distracted during this podcast, because this afternoon before I went to work, I just got my hippogriff, so I'm like like literally I'm flying a hippogriff the second I load the game. So fuck y'all. I got to go.
Have fun. So Fatty, leave you can exit the studio and everything, but leave your laptop on for like 10 or 15 minutes to make sure that it uploads the audio. Cause last week it did. I'm assuming last week you just shut the lid. I didn't think it would matter, so I didn't bother saying anything.
Yeah. I just shut. Just leave it open like this.
Yeah. Yeah. You can leave the studio and everything. Just let your computer keep computing for 15 minutes or so. And
should I mute it?
Like I said, you can exit the studio. Like you can.
Well, I just meant like, okay, I gotcha.
Like, yeah, you can leave the call and everything. Just stay on the website. I don't even know if you have to stay on the website. I think as long as you leave your computer open, it'll. Okay. But just leave the studio and leave there, and then you can come shut it in a couple minutes. But great to see you, Fatty. Jeremy, I know you're listening. Get your ass to Mars. And always put your dingo in the horn box.
Happy Halloween, bitches. May you all find water and shade.
There you go. Happy Halloween.
Bye-bye.
Have fun flying your hippogriff, fatty.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
Give Lisa a hug.
Is drunk flying hippogriff a crime?
No.
Can they put you in Azkaban for that?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Butterbeer only.
What? That's like O'Doul's, man. I'm out.
Bye.
Cocaine and whiskey only.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.